The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives up a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. What a joy it is to come on a Sunday morning and find so many kids around here. What are you adults doing here? Get out of here. No, I'm kidding. Let me introduce myself first. My name is Father Jorge. I'm one of the priests up here on the hill. And I'm pinch hitting for somebody. I don't know who it is. I have a mass later on in Greenwich and something to do in the city, so I'll be driving a little bit. I think that today's gospel is so fitting for our times, and I think the Lord is going to tell us two things. How he's very open to newness, to new things, new people, but he's very firm and strict against sin. So one of the things that I do is my specialization is I work with young adults, mostly in the city, but around here as well. And there's a typical thing that I call the curse of knowledge that happens to young people, but sometimes also to us, stubborn older people. And that is that, imagine you have a table with a puzzle, 500-piece puzzle. And we're looking just at the 40 pieces on the lower left-hand corner. And we make assumptions or conclusions about the whole puzzle with just this portion of the puzzle. And we've all done puzzles, so we know that many times. Just looking at this little corner is not going to tell us about the face or the house or the ship or whatever is in the whole puzzle. With little information, we come to big conclusions. And recently, it happens very often that a dad or a mom would call me and say, "Hey, Father, you know, my son George or Fred or whatever, he heard something at school or he heard something on social media, he heard something on Instagram, and now I can't get him back into the faith. Or he's in the faith, but he's just thinking poorly about some aspect of the faith." And so, it makes me think how a little bit, and this is kind of philosophers talking, but I'm putting it in very simple words. Little knowledge makes us ignorant. Ignorance comes from ignosis, from Latin is I lack wisdom. I lack information. It's not, I might not even be stubborn. I just lack information. And if I had it, then I would be wiser. So little information makes me ignorant. Much information gives me wisdom, both at the intellectual level as well as the spiritual level. So we see both in the first reading as well as in the gospel that these apostles, Joshua, who was a good man, and the apostles, who are the pillars of the church, but as human beings and sinful that we are, they just couldn't bear that somebody had a new technique, a new way of praying, a new movement, a new church reality. that most of the time is sent by God, because the Holy Spirit is always inspiring new things for new times. Like this past summer in Indianapolis, we had the Eucharistic Congress with 60,000 people, and you have new speakers and new bishops and new priests and new lay people. And that's awesome. The church is always renewing herself in a certain sense. So Jesus is asking all of us, what new thing has been presented to you recently that you're like, no, if I don't know about it, then it must not be good because I don't know about it. It's this envy, this pride. If I've never been introduced to this, I can't be missing out on something. It takes humility to say, well, yeah, I've been missing out on this. And this is actually good. So that's kind of, you know, one of the summaries of the first reading and then the gospel, where the Lord says, if they're not against us, they're with us. Openness to newness. Openness to new things. On the other hand, that we see Jesus veer 180 degrees almost and talk about this, use this hyperbolic language. We're not supposed to take it literally. There are masters in reading the Bible, and the Bible is not to be always and in every case read literally. He says, if your eye, if your hand, if your foot causes you to sin, pluck it out, take it out, cut it off. What is he saying? Well, he's saying, how attentive are you to true sin? A word that many people don't want to talk about. And there's been a push in the last 40, 50 years of life to, we don't even talk about that. Nobody sins. Why does that happen? Well, the secular push to make life more and more individualistic. Well, if we're more individualistic, I gotta feel good about myself. And I have to feel, if I have to feel good about myself, I have to tell myself that I never sin. I'm never guilty. And so here's a question for all of us, even the little ones here. Can guilt be good in some cases? Well, can fear be good in some cases? These are two very similar sentiments and feelings that, yes, we're not supposed to remain there, but they are good as a starting point. Did Jesus feel fear in the Garden of Gethsemane? Yes, but he didn't stay there. He was courageous, he confronted his passion, and he gained eternal life for us. The same thing with guilt. We read in Psalm 51, in guilt I was conceived. It is good for a certain period of time to start off in guilt. Why? What is guilt? It's that inner voice I feel that comes from a well-formed conscience and from the Lord that says, you know, what you did wasn't the best thing to do. I would have expected more from you. And so we move from guilt, and what did Peter do with his guilt when he had denied the Lord? He stepped up, owned it. He said, yes, I denied the Lord. Now I'm going to be better. There's so many examples in the Bible of people who started with guilt, and we have the sacrament of confession so that we can get that guilt out of the way and be better, be holy. So my friends, these are the two messages. One is Christ is very open to newness, but he's very stern and firm against sin. So as we continue with our Mass, let's ask the Lord, continue to ask me personally the question of, do I acknowledge sin and what do I do with it? Do I go to confession often enough, so that I can get that guilt out and I can receive grace? Let's ask the Lord and Our Lady to give us the strength to live our Catholic lives fully and truly. Amen.